concerns me with some of the things related to the Friday night Suda that we have. Before we give an introduction to the whole concept of the Shabbos meals, of the Sudas and Shabbos, we're just going to like start off the Friday night Suda, and we get up to like the Hamotzi part, like where there's no way to speak about the whole concept of the Shabbos, I think. I think that's the order we're going to go. So we're going to start off with the Gemara and Shabbos that cook your tests on my base. So the mayor says like this again. Shabbos Kufiyat Tesamay Beis Tanya. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda Omer Shnei Malachi Asharis Malavon Al Adam Be'er Shabbos Beis Hakneses LeBeiso. Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda teaches there are two Malachi Asharis that accompany a person on Friday night from shul back to his house. In other words, you have a whole like entourage that walks back a passi. Very good. That's walking back home with you from shul. Echad Tov Echad Ra. One malach is good, and one malach is bad. So when a person arrives home, when he gets back to his house, and he sees and he finds that there's a ner daluk, a lit candle, there's a shulchan aruch, there's a set table, and he finds that we would translate English that his bed is made. Now, if you look actually in halacha, the shulchan aruch seems to bring that this means his, the chairs are set up, and the post can say, of course, that the bed is supposed to be made also. Bitosom Utsas. So Malach Tov Omer, the Malach Tov says, Hirotzon Chitele Shabbos Acheres Ka. Halavai, it should be the next week. It should be the same, you know, beautiful. What's the word we're looking for? Serene and tranquil setting that's there. And it should be beautiful just like that. Malach Ra Onalo Amen. And Malach Ra is forced to say, oh, yep, Bal Korcho. And if it's not like that, he doesn't find the candles lit, the table's not set, the beds and the chairs are not set up properly, made properly. Malach Rao Yiratzin Shtei Shabbos Achereska. It should be like this. Total disarray and bad stuff next week. Malach Tov, Ona Amen Bal Korcho. The Malach Tov is going to be forced to say Amen against his will. Now, Derech Agav, parenthetically, if you look at the Marshal, this Gemara, the Marshal learns that this Gemara is actually not saying something unique about Shabbos in the slightest bit. The Marshal says that this Gemara, this whole idea about Malach, the Malach Tov, and Malach Ra, that's relevant to every single time a person is doing any mitzvah. And if the person does the mitzvah the right way, so then the Malach Tov says, next time, also, and the Malach Ra will say, nope, we're going to make it bad, and like that, and each one has to say a bane to the other. But most of the Mepharshim understand that the Gemara here is referring to something that is special and unique to the situation on a Friday night. So that's the Gemara over here. Now, before we speak about the actual, line by line of the Shalom Aleichem. Obviously, if we just hear what the Gemara says, we understand, right, that the source, the reason why we say this tefillah of Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Asharis, and welcome, and Baruchuni L'Shalom, and all that's based, of course, upon this Gemara. We know that we are, again, accompanied home by the two Malachi Asharis. We want that the Malachi Asharis, be looking upon us favorably, that we did the mitzvah, the setup properly, that the Malach Tov should say, it should be good for you next week, so, Baruchuni L'Shalom, and all of those kinds of things. Right? So this is the makor of the concept of that idea of the piyot that we say of Shalom Aleichem. Now, just it's interesting if you look at the Gemara, and then we'll talk about, for the remaining couple of minutes, we'll talk about the actual, the piyot, the song of Shalom Aleichem itself. The Gemara says that the Malachim focus on three things when they come home to the person's house. A ner daluk, a shulchan aruch, and mitaso mutzas. And the bed should be made. So if you look and think, those three things represent the pashas. They touch upon three different areas, or they could certainly be understood to be touching upon three different areas in a person's life. And ner daluk, of course, the neros are the symbol of Shabbos. Right? That's the basic The Shabbos candles that are there. A table is symbolic of the eating that a person does. Of course, obviously the focus is on the Shabbos Sudas, but that the table should be run in a, we're going to call it in a kosher, proper kind of a way. So the table has a certain association with the world of kashrus and eating. And mitasa mutzas, and a set made bed as a connotation, one of the other pillars of Jewish life, of taras hamishpacha and family life that's supposed to be there. So the Malach sees three on the three pillars, if you will, of what a Jewish home is all about. Shabbos, kashrus, taras hamishpacha, those are the three basics that are there. And if those things are going good, so the Malach Tov says, Gavaldik, this is the way it's supposed to be. Since Shabbos is certainly the focal point of a Jew's family life, that's when everyone's together and doing their thing. Much revolves around the family unit over the course of Shabbos. So the bracha that a person's getting is going to be based on whether or not the home is being run in a way that sets a very, very beautiful and special standard for what we would like a Jewish home to look like. So the malachim come in, they do their thing, and then we'll talk about what our responses are to the malachim, I guess, right now. So we have a piyut that we're knowing to say kimat everybody, with rare exception, most communities out there say this particular piyut of Shalom Aleichem. And the actual makor of the Peter Shalom Aleichem is from a sefer called the Tikkuni Shabbos. The Tikkuni Shabbos is exactly what it sounds like. It is a sefer that was written by the Talmidei HaRi that brought down all of the Arizal's practices about that relate to Shabbos. Many the Zemiros and other things that were said also. Keeping in mind that some of the famous Zemiros and Shabbos were Davka authored by the Talmidei HaRi also. So Najaro, one of the greats that was there. So that's it. The Tikkuni Shabbos brings down that at the beginning of a Shabbos meal, you have this You have this piyut that you would say, and it also adds that you say the psukim that are immediately following the piyut. Ki malachav yitzavelach l'shmar b'chodarachecha, shem yishma tzeis chavecha me'atov yadolam, and you say the tefillah of Ribbono Olamim, and we'll get to the rest of the things later on. That's the where this the piyut comes from way back in the day. We're holding right now in the year Tufshin something, Ayin Tes. So this sefer was written in the year, if I'm not mistaken, around Shin Vav. So we're in, Jewish years are in Hey, like 57, what's it, 79, right? So the official number of a year, we're lazy. So in Hebrew, we just write Tufshin is a 7, 400, 307, right? 700. So the official year is Hey, Tufshin, Ayin Tes. So this sefer was written in Shin Vav, so that goes back a lot of years back, and it was printed in Venice. Was the first printing of the sefer. Where a number of sefer were printed. They had a well developed printing business in Venice. So we have four stanzas that are there in the Shalom Aleichem tefillah. And the first one we start off Shalom Aleichem Malachei Asharis Malachei Elyon. That's a basic greeting that we give, right? The Malachim come into our house, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, like we should say to anyone who walks in the door. One of the things that we notice, right, that's there in that piyut, that's there in that stanza, is according to most of the practices, there's a switch in the name or in the status that we give to the malachim. The first paragraph we speak about, we give a shalom aleichem to a group that are called the malachi asharis, right, and in all the subsequent stanzas of shalom aleichem, we give a greeting or a bracha, whatever it is, to a group that are called the Malachi HaShalom. And so why is that? This is a beautiful explanation that was given by one of the great rabbis, the Sar Shalom of Belz. And the Sar Shalom explained like this. Again, we're just going to point out a couple of things that are relevant to our life and our understanding of how the take home, so to speak, of our understanding of how the Shabbos Sudah is run. So Sar Shalom explained as follows, that when that at the onset of or the norm, I guess maybe we'll call it, is that in the relationship between the comparison between a malach and a human being. So we always associate that the malach is on a higher level, a greater spiritual entity than a human being is. Right? The malachi asharis, the malachim that are up there, the malachim that are masharis, that are servants of the Ibn Sham, a very high appellate that's given to the malachim. So the malachim first enter into a person's house. So me and the malachim, they're the malachi asharis. They're a high, very, very special, supernal kind of an entity that's there. And in comparison to me, these are the malachi asharis up there in Shemayim. Explains it, Sar Shalom. When the malachim come into the house, after you give the initial greeting, they look around and they see the way the home is set up, all the things that a Jew has done for the sake of Kavod Shabbos and the Onik Shabbos that he has set up, the care to make sure the home is set up and arranged in a proper kind of a way. And the Malach sees the efforts that the Jew makes, both in terms of the Hachanos for for Shabbos Kodesh, and the serenity and the Kedusha that's there in the house on Shabbos. So then the human being, through his avoda and through the mitzvahs that a person does, the human being has a chance, an idea we've all heard before, to be elevated, taka, up to maybe even surpassing the level of a malach. A person took all of the struggles that a baser b'dam, that a physical kind of a thing has, and we still turn to Devarim Shebi Kedusha, we still turn to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's easy for Malach to do, it's not so simple for us to do. Again, Shabbos, bottom line is a nisayon for a person to mamish stop from everything, every single week. And the Malach walks in and sees, wow, what the Shabbos in a Jewish home is. So the Jew himself gets picked up and elevated and sanctified through that experience, and then we're able to talk to the malachim on an equal plane. We don't look at you, wow, the malachi asharis from up there in Shemayim, where you're just friendly guys. We can hang out with you a little bit, like there. So that's how we explain that difference between the things. Bo'achem l'shala, we have a minig that we repeat the things three. To most people, repeat the things three times. A sefer called the Lukutei Ma'arich, who plays a lot of different minhagim and other things that are spoken about in that sefer. He points out, based on Avudraham in other areas in tefillah, that every time you repeat a tefillah three times, the idea is that we're trying to be mechazik the idea that we're speaking about in that particular tefillah. Right? So the same thing over here, we want a more of a concrete and firm kiyum on the different things that we're davening about. So we repeat each line three times. That's what most people. Some people don't that, but that's what most people do. Bo'acham l'shalom is fairly straightforward and simple. It's again a greeting. Baruchum shalom, and all of that. That much you say. Baruchuni the shalom now becomes a source of a little bit of a debate. A sefer called the Keser Rosh that's printed in the Meister Rav. It's sitting there on the shelf. You know to pull it out. There's no whatever. So the Keser Rosh brings Osadi Gemol that the practice of Rav Chaim Belozner was davken not to say the tefillah of Baruchuni the shalom in deference to the fact that in general it's again a sugya in Sanhedrin that you had, that we don't really turn to malachim to daven to different malachim. We daven only to the Ribono Shalom, not to malachim. And just like many of the piyutim that a lot of people say during slichos, the minigin in yeshivos and by many, many people is to skip over the tefillos that are the slichos are that are directly turning to malachim to daven to them, to ask them to do stuff. So Rav Chaim Belozner was quoted there in the Keser Rosh saying that he felt the same thing was true when it comes to the piyut of Baruchuni the Shalom. But we don't ask malachim for things. We daven only to the Ribono Shel Olam. The justification, and even if you look in the Meisei Rav, the quote that there were those who argued that who questioned that entire report. They said Rav Chaim Belozner did say that part. So it's not 100% clear, but it's generally assumed that there was a minhag not to say Baruchuni the Shalom. Of course, the justification for that is what the Gemara is saying over here. The Gemara points out that the Malach comes in and he gives a bracha to the Jew when he comes into the Jew's house on Friday night. So we're just like not asking the Malach to know, to do something. We're just davening that whatever the Gemara spoke about is supposed to happen. So, like, you know, that's going to happen. So let's just at least encourage the idea a little bit more, and try to push that along. Now, the last part of the Shalom Aleichem has a little bit of an interesting discussion about it also. Whatever we say, we say Shalom Shalom, of course, means have a good trip, goodbye, right? We're wishing that we could say Shalom Shalom. So there are different svarim that discuss why is that true. If you look in the Shari Tshuva, in Siman Reish Samach Beis, the Shari Tshuva brings down in the name of the Machzik Bracha. Ayn b'machzik bracha shekazu b'shim Tosefes Shabbos. The Tosefes Shabbos is a sefer on many, many areas, in many parts of Hilchos Shabbos, that there was a gadol echad who's machak b'nusach shalom aleichem, the charuz of tzeischem l'shalom. Okay, and the Tosefes Shabbos, the machzik bracha, or his kemimo, that makes, that makes sense, like why the malach came, what are you just throwing the malach out for? That doesn't really make sense. Nice, like the rabbi, a guest comes to Yashar, you know, to visit, and say, oh, how are you? Very nice. Get out of here. That sounds like a strange and certainly not proper kind of a thing to do. So many people took that nusach out. They didn't say that part and they left it out. You'll find that different homes that people try to do that. That's one practice that's there. The Shai Shuvi continues and he says he doesn't think that you should do that. You should say it. He says the idea is just that whenever the malachim are going to leave, so you're wishing them a seischem l'shalom. And the problem, of course, is that we don't really know what exactly is going on with the malachim. Most people don't actually witness and like observe and view and see the malachim when they're in their house. So we know the Gemara says they come, so like we know they come, but you know, I don't know, they probably leave sometime also. So whatever that means, say Shalom Shalom. Right? That's the way the Shari Tshuva explains. That's what the Shari Tshuva explains over here. And based on that, there are some that were Magia that edited the tefillah a little bit, and they said that the last line should be read Bit Seischem L'Shalom. Whenever you're going, Bit Seischem L'Shalom, it should go with you should go in peace. Not that we're saying Seischem L'Shalom, it's, you know, whatever it is, that should be fine. There's a Perush on the Siddur written by Yaakov Emick called Yamudei Shamayim. Yamudei Shamayim, he brings another pshat where he says that maybe our interest in saying Seischem L'Shalom stems from the fact that maybe we get a little nervous that the malachim are hanging out in our house, and unless the malach sees something and maybe is not 100% appropriate, a person doesn't always know if he can be holding on a high madrega to have, you know, malach in his house all the time. So we just tell them, listen, you know, maybe attack is a good idea if you, you know, like, be nice knowing you, but you know, here's the door, and it may be better off for me if you take leave, like that. My wife has this thing. She doesn't like pictures of gedolim up in the house. She always like would bother her that she always felt that they were staring at her and looking. You know, sometimes you feel like uncomfortable, like, okay, you know, whatever it is. So we say the same thing to the malachim. Maybe it's not. Maybe we feel uncomfortable that they should be around. There's a beautiful bit of pshat though that gives us a little bit of an inkling of some of the high madrigos that a person can reach during the time of a Shabbos meal. Some others explain that the phrase Seischem L'Shalom, it means exactly that. We're telling malachim, go, but not from a defensive position that we're saying, I don't feel comfortable having the malach around the house, but maybe from a very positive kind of a standpoint. What we say as follows: a malach is a, like we began with a couple of minutes ago, a malach is a ruchnius being, fixed in place, it's stagnant, it's who it is, whatever Hashem created, that's what a malach is. And a malach as a purely ruchani kind of a being, so the malach doesn't have any ability to be able to relate to the physical world. That's something that a malach can't do. A Jew, on the other hand, is about to engage in a very, very sublime Yerushalayim, a very, very special activity over the course of a Shabbos meal, where the Jew is about to take all the foods and all of the drinks and all the things that every guy out there in the world might eat or drink, but imbue them with a tremendous amount of Kedusha, the Madrega that a Jew achieves during a proper amount of eating, during the proper, of Mahalach and eating, is a very, very special, tremendous, tremendous thing. To the degree, two quick stories that there was one time that a woman had brought a chicken with a shaylin in Hilchos Trefos, and she brought it to the mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and to ask a shaylin halacha, and he was toreach very much this, that, and was spending a lot of time trying to work through the sugya to see whether or not is the chicken kosher or not kosher. And the lady eventually said to the rav, she said to him, listen, it's getting late, it's Friday, and I gotta get on and make Shabbos. Truth be told, hey, where are the chickens? I just don't need this. I just throw it, it's not worth the headache. I'll get rid of it, and I'll make a chicken. I'll go back, we'll have food. Don't worry about it. So the Baal HaTanya told her, he said, you're making a mistake. If you understood how important it was to the chicken, that the chicken have this schus to be able to be consumed on a Jew's Shabbos table, you wouldn't be so quick to throw that thing away. It's a big schus for an animal, for a thing in this world to be eaten by you at a Shabbos table, the Kedusha Vitara, the entire world, all the physical rests on that thing, and for someone to be zochah, to be used for such a thing. Some chicken just get eaten by Goyim and Purdue and whatever it is, and other things become Machali Shabbos. That's he said you can't be light about that. You can't just throw that out. You can't just kick back. That's a type of very, very special thing. Something we don't always appreciate. That we should be thinking about. I don't remember who it was right now. Pizessa told me. Pizessa once told me one of his grandparents had said when they were younger, they used to daven. I just don't remember which rabbi it was. He said he used to daven very, very hard that halavai I should be able to achieve a madrega that by when I eat that when I eat eat food that the eating should be on as high of a madrega as my davening should be, that the eating should be a very special activity. And they added, when that same ancestor got older, they used to daven the opposite to halavai, my davening should be on the same madrega that my eating is. And that's a very, very special thing for a person to be able to have. I think this is a true story, and I hope I'm not making it up. If I'm not mistaken, the names are accurate, that the Berdichever used to speak about the specialness of the challahs that he used to use on Shabbos, the kedusha, the way they ate the challah, and it was such an amazing thing. And it was reported that at one tish, his Rebbetzin had come out and she had said that if you'd only appreciate and understand the amount of kedusha I put into making the challah, she said, then you would have nothing compared to what you do when you sit down and eat them. In many, many Jewish homes, the practice is, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that it's a part of the Kavod Shabbos for a wife to daven to make challah on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos rather. It's not just an inyan of Kavod Shabbos, but the kavanos and the mindset of what goes into to making something is something very, very special, and it adds a lot to the experience that's there. When Avraham Avinu was gathering the malachim into his house, so he told Sari Menu, Lushi Vasi Ugos. I want you to knead the dough, Lushi, like the Malach on Shabbos, Lush, Lisha, Lushi, go out and knead the dough, Vasi Ugos, to make cake to serve the Malachim. Medrash seems to comment, again, I'm leaving out what the Medrash says, but there's a Medrash that seems to indicate, if you look inside, you won't chap it up, we won't chap, do you? Whatever. So look at all the Midrashim, and you'll see, if you read them carefully, one of the Midrashim on that pasuk seems to indicate that when Avraham Avinu was telling him, Lushi, Vasiugos, that the very lisha, the kneading of the dough itself, all the thoughts that a person does when they're preparing the food, that's done by Kedusha Vatara. That's an incredible, incredible thing, and an incredible way to inject a massive amount of Kedusha and Tara into the food that helps the Jew serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in a much, much deeper way than all of that's done, l'shem Shemayim. Something very, very special very, very special to do. My wife is very, very, very immaculate around there on the baking of challahs on Friday Shabbos and Friday afternoon. That's a very, very big, thing. So when we turn to the malachim, we say to them is as follows: we're about to sit down and have a Shabbos meal. We understand the mindset and the kedusha and the amount of elevation that a person can get, the madrigos a person can achieve from eating a sudas mitzvah in a proper way. Shabbos is the most special time out of the week to be engaged in that avodah that's called kiddush hachomer, to sanctify all the chumrius, all the physical things that are in the world. And it's davka at that time that we turn to the malachim and say, hasta la vista, sayonara. You guys just leave. You can't, we don't want to embarrass you. You can't even fathom what's about to go down at this table, at this room right now. So we just usher them out and say, you can go back to your malach world, but I'm going to go now up into the realm of what eating the Kedusha Vatara is all about. And therefore we accompany the malachim out to the door and, give a slam and say goodbye, come back next week when we start again. But at that moment, it's not appropriate, not shaykh for a malach to be present in the room. So that's some of the introduction to what we're doing when we start off a Shabbos meal. Again, Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll touch upon some of the next parts and then move on from there.
If the malachim get corrupted or whatever happens next week, how does one get out of that cycle? Let's say it's a bad cycle, so they're never ready. How do you get out of it?
You get out of it.
The malachim says that's what should happen.
They offer the tefillah, it should be like this next week, so make sure it's not like that.
Are these the same two malachim that we discussed about earlier in the Gemara by Vayechol? What's the rest of it? I'm going to run out of the house.